Well, turn in your Bibles tonight to Psalm 119. And if you came prepared to take some notes, great, because tonight is going to be more of a lesson than it is going to be a sermon, although you know how Bible is. Turns out that way. And the reason I say it's going to be more of a lesson is that we're not going to dwell a lot of time on each point, because there are a number of things that need to be considered in this particular topic. Psalm 119, look at verse 49 and 50. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Verse 50 is our text. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. What we're going to talk about tonight after we pray is we're going to talk about handling affliction. Everybody goes through it. And some of us more than others. And the thing is, you got to know how to handle it. And the Bible gives you some very specific instruction on how to do that. And so we want to get those points and put them somewhere where we can remember, because next time it comes up, you got to know what to do. Before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Brother Woods, would you pray for us, please? Amen. You know, on Wednesday night, generally, I wear a tie. I'm saying this for Brother Hernandez and Bobby's sake. But last night was a rather sleepless night, and when I left, I was happy to be wearing the shirt on my upper and the pants on my lower, and the same color boots, you know. Just one of those kind of deals. We all go through those. And it reminded me that during that episode, a number of you came to mind. And things that you're going through. And I realized during that little episode that part of the reason for the sleepless night, actually two in a row, was to learn something to give to you, to compel me to look in the Bible for something that would be helpful to you. Now, affliction, that's the word that shows up in verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. Affliction is something that causes pain or suffering. Oh, that could be a lot of things. That could be a mosquito. Depends on how the bite goes, you know. It could be a stressful situation. It could be a physical consequence, like a sickness. It could be an injury. It could be discord. It could be calamity. It could be a financial problem. Affliction is something that causes pain or suffering. All right, and handling affliction, because of what it is, can be very tough. So what we're going to do is we're going to look in the Bible tonight for understanding from the Scripture how to handle it. And first of all, based on this text, we are to handle affliction with the Bible. He says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." What comforted him is the Scripture. Okay? And so we're to handle affliction with the Bible. Now, the problem is, affliction causes you sometimes to become busier. Because you've got something pressing on you, and the next thing you know, you're using the energy that is created by that pain to start dealing with a lot of other things that you hadn't been dealing with up to that point. Bobby and I were just talking, he said, do you find yourself staying awake because you were stressed? I said, yes. He said, yeah, that happened to me all last week when we were painting our house. And after the contractor left, we went into our storage and into the backyard and got all this stuff that's out on the street for the city to pick up and carry away. Where did that come from? It's interesting, but that affliction oftentimes becomes a motivator for doing things that you hadn't been dealing with. And part of the reason is you see other things that were problems that didn't bother you before as things that bother you now that you want to get out of the way, is what that is. You become busier, Martha did that. Jesus is there, Mary's sitting there, and she gets really tied up about the meal. You become mentally distracted in affliction because a lot of thought is going on concerning the medical problem you have or the financial problem you have or the whatever problem you're dealing with. You become busier, mentally distracted, emotionally drained. You just get worn out with it. It's kind of like that thing we've been praying about for Lana. And then what happens is, with all of that, busyness, distraction, and emotional drain, you don't want to pick up your Bible. Because it's not going in. And you know, you're just looking at words on a page like, well, there's no use in doing this. I might as well go ahead and wash all the dishes again. And when you do pick it up, because you know you're supposed to, you can't get much out of it. What needs to happen is we need to stay in it during those times of affliction longer until the Lord can minister to us something out of the Word of God we must see in order to learn from the trouble we're in. God will... You and I always learn more when we're hurting and needing. Okay? So, first of all, we handle affliction with the Bible. Secondly, turn to Psalm 88. Psalm 88. Psalm 88, we're going to look at a little more scripture here. We're going to pick up verse 9. That would almost be enough, but there's too much good stuff in here. The second way we handle affliction is with prayer. With prayer. All right, verse 9. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Psalm 88, 9. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. But now notice there's no satisfaction. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee, Selah? He's not dead yet, but sure feels like he's going to be dead or wants to die. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark? Have you ever noticed how even a bright sunshiny day in time of affliction looks like it's cloud-covered thunderstorm? And thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. I'm getting up for you. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. It's funny how you start grabbing for every problem you've ever had since you were a kid and throw it all in the same prayer request. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted, no doubt. Verse 16, thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me and mine acquaintance into darkness. You're not listening and I don't have any friends left. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And everybody's giggling because we've all prayed like this. Our problem became a life and death situation. We have no more friends left. Or friends we had, God drove them off. And God's hiding and we couldn't find him with a laser beam. And notice he starts out, my eye mourneth by reason of affliction. And when you're praying, oftentimes you'll cry. I mean, it is a tearful situation. And because it's tearful and because it's dark and because it's heavy and because it's lonely and because it's not leaving, it can be very depressing. And depression is an emotion that stirs up all kinds of wicked complications, fears and exaggerations and problems that aren't really problems. Turn into big problems because those emotions get affected. It's appropriate to pray and cry out to God. It's not appropriate to pray and then exaggerate the problem and become depressed and despondent and suicidal. But people do. He did in this prayer. Now, these feelings, let me tell you this, are going to come when you start praying about your affliction. You can't escape it. It's part of what happens when you're really feeling pressed out and God is not removing the problem. Because you know that He can. And if it keeps you awake at night, you're going to be reminded that there's a verse in Psalm 127 that says, "So He giveth His beloved sleep, and it's obvious you don't love me because I can't sleep." And so God's going to start getting some of the blame in your prayer. That's just the way it goes. And the truth of the matter is, okay, get that out of the way. Remember to fear God and don't say things that are foolish. And then get down to the business at hand, because those things need to be prayed about. You've got to communicate with God, because God's the only one that can help you sort it out. He may not lift it, but He can help you sort it out better than anybody else. It's funny how when you're really feeling the pressure of affliction and somebody else tries to come and help you by giving you some kind words, that ain't helping. And the reason that they are far off is because what you're saying is driving them away. They don't want to be near you. And the problem, you're hurting. You're hurting. And somebody that tries to help is almost like pushing on the sore spot. Okay? So when you go through affliction, go through it with the Bible and go through it with prayer. And remember that in those prayers, those things are going to come up that morning. And what you want to do is you want to get that out of the way, talk that over with God, and then get down to the business at hand. Because you've got to find out what's going on in the affliction. Now look in... there's so many good verses on this one. Look in Jonah. So you got the big prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Stop in Hosea. Let's do Hosea first. So Isaiah, Jeremiah, after Jeremiah is a little book, Lamentations, then Ezekiel, then Daniel, then Hosea. Hosea 5:15. Hosea 5:15 says, "I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face." This is God talking. "I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face." Watch it. "In their affliction, they will seek me early." So the next way to approach or handle affliction is with repentance. It might be that the trouble you're experiencing is self-inflicted. That you have done something and God is afflicting you to get your attention and turn your heart right with God. "In their affliction, they will seek me early." And in that time of prayer, point two, when you're crying out to God and letting Him have it all, He, once you get it out of your system, He may talk to you and say, "You know something? This wouldn't be happening if you hadn't done this thing over here, and I'm putting pressure on you to get you to turn." Okay, from Hosea, go through Joel, which is the next book, and then Amos, which is 9 chapters, and then Obadiah, and then Jonah. Jonah chapter 2. Show it to you one more time. All right, Jonah chapter 2, look at verse 1. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." See, when you get in the affliction, you approach it with prayer. Verse 2, "And said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and Thou heardest my voice." But this time Jonah is coming repentantly. "Look, God, I'm get me out of this, and I will go to Nineveh and take care of business. Salvation is of the Lord," he finally confesses. Manasseh was the wickedest king that Judah ever had. When he was afflicted with thorns and briars, you know what? He woke up and said, "I got this. I did this." And so in the affliction, he repented and the Lord cleared up the stuff. He humbled himself and got rid of a lot of the idolatry that was the source of the problem. Somehow or another, when you're hurting in pain and suffering, because it hurts, you think whoever brought it to you is the guilty party. not realizing, like a child that just got a spanking, you deserved it. Not always. Not a lot of the time, but some of the time. So approach affliction with the Bible, with prayer, and with repentance. All right, and then, got all that, so we're just going through it kind of like a teaching, point by point. Go with me to Mark. We can easily stop and preach on any point, but the point is, the problem is we have a number of things to cover, and so it's better to get the whole lesson and let God do the preaching the next time you're in affliction. Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, the Lord is interpreting the parable of the sower and the seed, and he's on the second place the seed is sown in verse 16. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. Verse 17, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. All right, so the fourth thing to do when handling affliction is handle it without offense. Don't get offended. When you are afflicted, it is easy to get offended. And then just say, okay, then, if this is the way it's going to be, if this is the way you treat your saints, okay, I'm not messing with you anymore. I quit. It's kind of what happened to Jonah when finally the gourd grew and he had a little shade from the sun, and then the gourd died and he started getting a sunburn. He just got mad. I mean, he said, just kill me, God. I don't want you to raise your hand and I don't want you to say it out loud. But have you ever found yourself in a place where that pressure, that pain, the suffering of whatever it was you were going through was so much you said, you know what, Lord, I'd just be better off dead. Nobody's shaking their head one way or the other, which is good. You wouldn't want everybody else to know how you feel about that. But I'm serious, you do. You know, the Lord had to deal with John the Baptist about that. He said, are we looking for you or are we looking for somebody else? And the Lord did all the miracles and sent word back and said, and blessed are they which are not offended in me. Listen, affliction accompanies the gospel. We're going to see that a little bit more on a couple of these other verses. And the Lord doesn't want you to take it out on him and get offended when it happens. Listen, there are people that come to church and the preaching will get under your skin and they say, I'm not going back to that church. Why? He offended me. They're never going to grow. Not like that. So don't handle it with offense. Handle affliction without offense. All right, look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, look at verse 25. I'm going to show you a verse you probably hadn't thought of the way you're seeing it tonight. I haven't either, but look at this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. This is Moses in verse 24, for the context. Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Watch it, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. When you're feeling pain, let's say you get a headache right now. What's the normal response? Take whatever painkiller you have, Advil, Motrin, hydrocodone, Lortab, whatever you get your hands on, right? Medical marijuana. Not in Texas, not yet, but. I mean, that's what happens, right? You feel a little pain, you go get something for the pain. You know what a lot of people have done in the past before they got saved, whenever they started feeling pain or they were suffering something? Sin. Sin. Could be alcohol, could be drugs, could be a variety of things. Could be an angry explosion at somebody else. It's funny how the pain is transferred to something else if you can. There's some people that cut themselves when they're feeling emotional pain. You say, well, that's doing harm to their body. They're transferring it. That's why a lot of times you pick on somebody that you love and get after them because you're trying to transfer the pain. Okay? And so here he says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. After you're saved and you start living for God and that pain or of affliction or that suffering of affliction comes on you, you know what's going to come to mind? Boy, I sure could use a beer about right now. Or two. Nobody's saying anything.
Ice cream.
Ice cream. Some people do. Some people deal with it with eating. Some people deal with it with a variety of things. Some people go to the internet and do things they shouldn't do. There are a lot of ways to deal with this. Sin is not the option. Because one thing, it compounds the pain of the affliction later when it is now accompanied by shame and guilt, and the pain didn't go away. All you did was a temporary mollification. You say, what's that? Like putting salve on a wound. You temporarily did it, but all of what was there is still there when the inebriation of whatever you chose in sin is gone. You still got to deal with it. So do it without sin. Handle affliction without sin. Here's another one. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now I'm going to fold these notes and put them in my Bible. I keep it real handy so when I do point one, I can find out the other 11 and not do the things that I do when I shouldn't do when affliction comes. All right, look in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 9 is the verse we want, but verse 8 is the one we'll start with. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Whom resist steadfast in the what? In the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, there's some really good stuff in this, but the next thing is handle affliction with faith. Sometimes afflictions come from the devil. Now, I'll tell you, in religious circles, in Christianity, the devil generally gets blamed for all of them. Boy, the devil was really messing with me. I think, personally, that he gets blamed far too much. And the sad thing is, so does God. And a lot of times it doesn't have anything to do with either one of them. But sometimes the devil is around, particularly if you are already weakened. If you're already limping from some pain of affliction in another area, all he has to do is just kind of prod you a little bit, and he can really push your button. Does the devil know which button in your life to push? Yeah, he really, really does. So sometimes these afflictions come from the devil. Two things to remember. Number one, handle those with faith. Why? That's what he said here. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Why? Because with the shield of faith, you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That is the weapon that God has given you to protect yourself. You have to believe God. Now understand something. When affliction comes and the devil is involved, he is trying to put a wedge between you and God. If you ever read of military situations and you've got a line of defense like this, what an offensive tactic is to break that line of defense somewhere. And then exploit that break, that breach in the line, and then take, now you've got flanking maneuvers that you can do on either side, and destroy those lines of defense. Well, with the shield of faith, he can't get in, because it quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. So you've got to believe God. You can't let the devil wedge you, okay, from the belief of the scripture in the book, or from God himself. Alright, that's one thing to remember. The other thing to remember is, what he's doing to you is not unique. Notice what he says here, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. This isn't unique to you. Brother Hernandez is down there in the Amazon basin, and I suppose there are things that are unique to the mission field, and unique to the pastorate, and unique to the pew. But when the devil gets involved, worldwide, it's really the same problem. And so, they affect others as well. You're not being singled out, and that's important because if you think you are, it is unique, you may think there's not a remedy for your particular problem. There's not even anything in the Bible or in any of God's tools to deal with it. And that's a real lack of faith. And you don't want to go there. Okay, so handle affliction with faith. 2 Timothy 4:5. I tell people when they come to me for counseling, I'll give you one thing to do. If you go do that, and I'll come back and give you another one. So I could have broken this up in, what, 10 lessons? I'm giving you the whole load at one time, but it's because there are many of you right now that are in affliction. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 5. Now this is instruction from Paul to Timothy, who is an evangelist. But watch what he says. 2 Timothy 4:5, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. All right, endure affliction. So handle affliction with the Bible, with prayer, with repentance, without offense, without sin, with faith, and then this, with endurance. With endurance. What does that mean? I'm going to have to be dealing with this one for a while. What's your first desire? When you have something painful in your life, you want to get rid of it right away. But you know what? They can't always be thrown off. And if they can't be thrown off, if your race that particular affliction involves is not a sprint, you're in for a long race. And if you're in for a long race, that's called an endurance race. And you're going to have to endure it. The Serenity Prayer was not something that was started by AA. It was actually started by a preacher. But that is a good prayer at times like this. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Or God grant me the endurance to handle the afflictions that I cannot change. And there are a lot of things like that you can't change. And all you can do is bear up and say, we say, Lord, get rid of it. It doesn't go away. Then give me bigger shoulders to carry it, because I've got to be able to handle it. Now listen, isn't it true, Cade, in 2-a-days in August that it's just killer? But in the season, those things that hurt are now the things that are benefits, because they give you strengthening conditioning for the real battles. Right? So enduring affliction is a very helpful thing. Oftentimes it allows you to be able to carry on and actually to be stronger. So with endurance. James chapter 5 verse 10. How should we handle affliction? James chapter 5 verse 10. With faith, with endurance. I'm just picking up a few of those points. With patience. With patience. This may sound the same as what you've heard, but listen, it's just a little bit different. James chapter 5 verse 10. Take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. And now the prophets are those who handle affliction properly. Job is a good example. And we're commended in James to the patience of Job. You know the funny thing about it is, we start murmuring and complaining and mouthing off when we're not feeling good, when we're being afflicted. And there's a lot of whining. Anybody in here ever do that? And a lot of complaining and a lot of murmuring and disputing with the Lord in it. Job went through all that he went through, and he didn't do that with the Lord. It was rough, and there were some things that he said, you know, that had been recorded in there that are pretty remarkable. But when he lost all of his children and all of his possessions, and he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, what we've been through is not anything like what he went through. And having gone through far less, we have said far worse than he ever thought about saying. And so when we handle it with patience, the point is, Lord, I'm going to remember what the prophets did. Lord, I'm going to remember what Job did. He didn't bellyache the way I want to bellyache right now. He just said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I think I'll just try that and see how it goes today. And just keep my mouth shut. Because what happens is when we start mouthing off and complaining, foolishness comes out. And there are a lot of regrettable things and things that we have to then take up with the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I'm sorry that I'm just feeling bad. Well, He knows that. But it's easier for you and Him to go through that if you're not saying those things about Him and to Him or to others during that time. And Job handled it with patience, and so did many of the other guys in the Old Testament. All right, here's another one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. You say, does this have an end? Yeah, when you and I have exhausted the subject, we will stop. No, actually, we're getting close. This point and two more. Actually, that and then a conclusion and we're done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul is telling the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Handling affliction, one other way to do it is with joy. The Macedonians had a great trial of affliction, but that abounded to their liberality when they handled it with joy and, okay, the abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded unto their liberality, the Bible says. Now, you're not always going to be able to handle affliction with joy. Just understand that already. But the point is, it is possible to have joy in the midst of affliction. And I'm going to tell you something. We sometimes think that joy and affliction are mutually exclusive. When this affliction is gone, then I will rejoice. Right? When my husband goes to work, then I will be happy. But as long as he's around here, this is hard to endure. I look forward to him going to work. Those kind of things. And we sometimes get the idea that joy and affliction are mutually exclusive, and they're not. There are times when in affliction there is a joy, and I'm going to tell you something. That joy is a supernatural joy that is greater than any joy you've experienced in your life. Because it comes from the Spirit of God. Isn't the grace of God mostly manifested in our weakness? Isn't that where our greatest strength is? And if the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, the greatest, what? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In the deepest of sorrow and in the deepest of affliction in the life of Jesus Christ was the greatest demonstration of divine love. In the greatest weakness of Paul was the greatest demonstration of the divine grace of God. And in the deepest affliction is the manifestation of the greatest supernatural joy of the Spirit of God. And you've got to look for that. It may not always accompany every instance of affliction. But if it's there and you miss it, that would be a tragedy. Handle affliction with joy. Here's another one, really good one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. While you're turning there, we're handling affliction in our lives with the Bible, with prayer, with repentance, without offense, without sin, with faith, with endurance, with patience, with joy, and this one. With perception. With perception. Look at Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction. Is he crazy? You know what Paul went through in his life. I don't have to repeat it to you. We've discussed it several times, many times since you've been here on Wednesday nights. All the whipping, stoning, beating, imprisonment, watchings, starvations, fastings, thirstings, everything else he went through. And he says, oh yeah. He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Are you kidding me? You know what that is? That's perception. He looked at it and he said, it ain't that bad. Your perception of the affliction you go through, the perception that I have of the affliction that I go through is going to have a lot to do with how heavy the load is that we carry. Paul said his affliction was light. And we know it was anything but light. But I believe when he said that, it helped him to be able to endure the affliction that he was taking. I mean, remember you when you were in calisthenics as a kid and the PE coach said, okay, we're going to do push-ups. And you're like, I can knock these out. Give me 25. Oh, man, the first one was like, oh. If he'd have said five, you know, no problem. It's funny how that first one was so heavy when you found out you had so many. Perception is so much of the reality of how heavy that load is to carry. If you're tired of it and it's not very big and you're not having a good day, it's really big. And Paul said it was light. 2 Corinthians, we're there. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And he said, out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Handle affliction with compassion. He said, when I wrote you about the problem you guys were having in your church with that kid, I was crying. And there was a great deal of affliction on me. Much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears. Handle affliction with compassion. This is very, very important. And then we'll have the conclusion. It's very, very important. When you are in the depths of something that is afflicting you, it's causing you a great deal of pain or suffering, and you get down into that depth, stop. Stop complaining. Stop disputing and murmuring. Stop fussing with God. Quit crying. And consider the people around you and what they're going through. Because you weren't thinking about it from the perspective that you have now when you first heard of the trouble they were having. And now you see what they're going through a whole lot differently than you did when you were feeling good and they were feeling bad. Bobby said to me the other day, he said, we hired contractors to come paint our house. He said, I have a whole different perspective on people that make prayer requests for finding good contractors to help them with things in their houses now. I have a whole greater appreciation. If you've ever been tested for cancer and somebody says, I'm being tested, you got a whole greater appreciation for what they're feeling from the time they got the news they have to have the test until they get the results. You know the fears. You know the trepidation. You know the anxieties. You know the sleepless nights. You know the thoughts. When affliction comes on you, just remember, you're not the only one in this thing, and if you will handle it with compassion, it will help you transfer some load, but in a way you've never seen before. Because it will break your heart for the cause of others who are deep in something right now. I was out walking in our neighborhood at 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock this morning with my affliction. I was walking my affliction and I was talking to God. And I spent some time in prayer, mourning and complaining and wondering where all these friends went. And where God is and why the sky is so dark. I'm telling you, I've walked in that and just a few hours ago. But I know some things about our sheep. And when I got down to this point I'm telling you right now, changed my life. I could see some things you're going through in a way I couldn't see it before. And change the way that I'm praying for you. You go through affliction. Make sure you go through it with compassion. Because there's others. They always say, I thought I had it bad with one leg until I saw a man without two. Okay, what that does is helps you feel better because it's not as bad as it could be. But the point is, it should help you also realize what that guy's going through. Here's the conclusion, Psalm 34, verse 19. And I'll tell you, you're not going to see what it's like for the other guy you've been praying for until you get a taste of what he's feeling. And the only way you're ever going to get that is to go through some of your own affliction. So go through it with compassion. Psalm 34, look at verse 19. Ha, 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 here's the conclusion. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Well, glory to God. So if you just got through one, you're getting ready to go through another. If you've got one going on now and you get rid of it, you'll get another one before long. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I love this part. The Lord delivereth him out of them all. Don't you like the way he made it very personal? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. There are a lot of righteous people, but the Lord delivereth him, each and every single one of us. Out of how many of them? All of them. All of them. That's why you got to go in with God. That's why you got to go in with prayer and the Bible. That's why you got to go in with faith. That's why you can't get offended. He will deliver you in time. But not your time. His time. And when he does, you will praise the Lord and you will say, the joy of this deliverance is unbelievable in his time. But he said, I'll deliver you out of them all. And I believe I would hang on to that verse pretty tightly if I were you. Amen. Well, that's how to do it, folks. That's what the Bible says about how to go through it. And I believe that'll help you, help us all a great deal. Because we're not going to escape them. We're going to go through them. Father, I thank you tonight for an opportunity to instruct us out of the Scripture. You've surely done me a great deal of good. I think I need to frame this and put one in my house and one in my bathroom, one in my car, one in the office, till we get these things and they become second nature to us. Lord, help us. We are weak. We are flesh. And we don't like affliction. But we love you and we trust you. So help us to be able to do it your way, just like you showed us from the Scripture, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.